Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 727, recorded on June 19th, 2024. My name is Martin Spriggs, and this is a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. And helping me talk about that each and every time we gather together in our little Wells Tech corner is Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. Happy to be joining you. I'm glad you know the date because in my mind, it's 2021 for some reason today. I've been writing it that way all day today. A little mixed up.
Who would want to go back to 2021 is my question.
That was right? The time of the mask. And no, I would not want to revisit that.
Yeah, we were podcasting back then. So
that's right.
We had our own, we were maintaining our 6 feet and all that good stuff. So. Anyway, we're midsummer and we're enjoying some conversations with different folks. I've been enjoying those so far, and we're kind of spanning the globe and trying to figure out who out there we can talk to about technology. It's not that hard or difficult to find smart people who are doing great things with technology. And that's the lighter fare that we're doing this summer, and it's been good.
It has. It's even spanned time frames, time zones, because in our interview today, you're going to find that we're halfway around the world and it's 12 hours different there. So I was just thinking, having recorded that early in the morning so we could catch this person late at night, that now they're probably asleep since we're recording in the afternoon. So
exactly. Yeah.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah. We got a chance to talk with Jeremy Seeger. He's on the World Missions team, the Asia One team, and works with Asia Lutheran Seminary and their certificate program. And he's been working on the technology over there. He's got a long history of, you know, the face-to-face teaching. Now he's doing a lot of virtual stuff with the TEL network. So we're going to learn more about that. But I enjoyed our conversation. So why don't we play that, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more. Here's Jeremy Seeger. Joining us today on Wells Tech is Jeremy Seeger from our World Missions team, specifically Asia One. He's the Dean of the ALS Certificate Program and a Tech Coordinator for Asia One. Jeremy, thanks for joining us, staying up a little bit later, I assume, to have this conversation with us. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Not too late, a 12-hour time difference, so plenty of time.
Just on the other side of the world. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it and taking the time to do this. Jeremy, you and I connect every so often, and your technology work in that space is what we're interested in talking about today. We're just kind of taking a whirlwind tour, so to speak, around Wells and talking about different technology topics wherever they surface, whether that's world missions, home missions. We thought you'd be a great person to talk to. Why don't we, before we get into some of our technology-related questions, tell us a little bit about yourself, background, what your previous training and work has been, and what your current responsibilities are.
Sure. I graduated from MLC in 2009 and was in the Hope Schools in Milwaukee before going to Beijing for a year with Rising Eagles Academy over there. Came back to Martin Luther in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, where I served as a technology coordinator there. And at that point began to get a master's from MLC in education with a focus on educational technology / instruction. I think I ended up in the instruction route, but it was a pretty even split between the two. Spent the last 6 years in Doral, Florida at Divine Savior Academy, teaching some high school math there. And now just am coming up on 1 year in Chiang Mai. Originally a tech missionary here on the Asia One team, and that role recently changed a little bit to be the Dean of Asia Lutheran Program, Certificate Program, as well as continue the technology coordination role for Asia One team and more specifically Asia Lutheran Seminary.
So I imagine it was a bit of an adjustment technology-wise, even with all that great training, when you arrived in East Asia or wherever Chiang Mai would be classified. So tell us a little bit about the differences in the world mission field with technology.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of similarities might be the place to start, actually. I feel like when I got into the role, seeing that a lot of the technology we're using was focusing on Asia Lutheran Seminary, that felt familiar, and that's a school. And that was my role, even though it was an elementary school with a very small and limited technology program at the time. A lot of similarities appeared as far as, you know, device management, making sure things are inventoried, we have replacement cycles in place, making sure we have a reliable network, just doing that kind of management and maintenance sort of things, as well as trying to just plan for the future and what do the next 5 years or the next 10 years look like for our school. And so it did feel surprisingly similar and familiar to me in that. I would say the big differences are the expanse that we're working with a school that's serving all of Asia, with a variety of countries, with varieties of technology available to them, with, you know, some with very limited availability and reliability, some with fantastic reliability and availability, just considering what our student body could look like, and wanting to make sure that we are able to reach people regardless of what device they may have available, what kind of internet reliability they have, and just trying to address some of those concerns along with security concerns as well. There are a number of countries that would prefer we're not doing the work that we're doing in them. And for our team, who's located in Thailand, that's not a safety concern for us, but for the individuals that we're reaching there, we also want to keep their safety in mind as well, and be cautious of how we're advertising, how we're reaching out, and what platforms we're using to do that.
What was the situation when you kind of moved in? Was there a program in place? Did you have to kind of start from scratch with, you know, procurement program and, you know, vendor selection and policy development procedure set up, those kinds of things, or did you have something to work with?
Yeah, I would say it was very much a mixed bag. There was a lot in place, and a lot that had been done throughout the years that ALS has been around. Some, I think, was started and created as a reactionary process. I think COVID pushed a lot of things online. And so there was a move in that direction. Sometimes I think just technology requirements and things were made as needed without maybe a long-term plan in mind. So I think there was a lot there and a lot to work with, and things are going very well for them as well. And one of the big challenges and the considerations we had was we were planning this launch of the TEL program as kind of a recruitment tool for Asia Lutheran Seminary, and seeing what Academia Christo has done for Latin American missions, what TEL has, you know, the enrollment numbers TEL has gotten in Africa, we recognized that we needed to be prepared for a larger influx of students potentially becoming into Asia Lutheran Seminary, so that the resources we had at the time were great for where we were at. But if we were looking to grow significantly in the next 5 to 10 years, we wanted to really lay some groundwork for what that future might look like.
Great segue into talking a little bit about TEL. We actually recently spoke with some from the Latin America team on TEL, but I see that there's a TEL Mandarin here. Maybe give us an idea of how that's going, what you've developed so far, and what kind of reaction you've had.
Sure. So we are using currently the TEL English program as well.
Oh, okay.
Building into TEL Mandarin. And we see it kind of as a curriculum that Asia Lutheran Seminary can use for our certificate level program. So that's kind of one thing that is unique about how we're utilizing TEL is students, after progressing to a certain level, actually receive credits to earn a certificate level, to earn their certificate from Asia Lutheran Seminary. And those credits can then be applied into our bachelor's program as well. So we really see it as a solid recruitment tool and teaching tool that could lead to some significant growth into ALS. So at this point, we've piloted it since January with a smaller class. But at the end of this month, we are beginning to advertise to select countries throughout Asia, and we'll be starting to launch classes on a weekly basis, and just praying that we see response to that and that God blesses those efforts to bring people into our ministry that we can train as leaders, who can go out and do their ministry in their countries.
And you've seen this firsthand because not only are you kind of overseeing it, but you are a teacher in it, or at least I know you've taught some classes. So you've kind of seen what kind of benefits there are to a program like this. Talk a little bit about your experiences, behind, in front of the camera and, talking to folks over WhatsApp and all that good stuff.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was blessed to be the guy who got to pilot it here for the Asia One team. And I'm on my fourth class now, or fourth session, with a group that started with around 20. And now we are, I believe, five are continuing on at this point. So we expect to see numbers drop off like that after the first session or so, as people kind of try it out and see what exactly it is. And it was exciting to see the wide range we had in that early class, that I had 20 students primarily from Pakistan and India, with a wide variety of backgrounds and ministry experience. I had two that were completely brand new to the Bible. They had started reading the Bible a month ago, saw the ads, signed up for classes, and just wanted to know more about the Bible basics. I had a half dozen at least that had the title of pastor and were leading worship weekly in one form or another, which is just awesome to see that these were Christian individuals who were already taking on leadership responsibilities, but also recognized the need to have some training and a little more formal training in how to lead worship. What does the Bible teach exactly? How can they improve their ministry, and how can we work together with that? So that was exciting to see the individuals in that area reaching out for help. One individual has continued on with me through four classes, who leads worship in Pakistan, a group of 60 that meet weekly. And it's been wonderful to hear his response, of how he's been able to implement a lot of what we've gone through in class in the TEL program immediately into his ministry. The idea of having interactive Bible studies, of not just a preacher preaching, but a teacher asking questions of people, having conversations about the Bible, pointing out truths of scripture through those stories, was just an awesome concept for him. And he really grabbed onto that and has been very excited to put that in practice. So it's been neat to see leaders like that finding this immediate benefit from what we have to offer them of the truths of God's word and a way to implement that in their ministries.
Follow-up question. Oh, go ahead, Sally.
No, you go.
So I'm thinking just about your previous ministries, at Doral and Martin Luther, very face-to-face oriented. Now you're really kind of a virtual, worker. What kind of transition was that? Is there, and you've got people around you there, I assume, but you're still dealing with people mostly virtually. What's that been like for you? Any adjustment?
I've definitely had to get better at using a calendar. 15 years of teaching where it's always been, all right, you're at school by 7 o'clock. You're there until 4:30. Your schedule is laid out for you. This is what it's going to look like for the next 180 days. The idea of, okay, I have a meeting at this time in this time zone and this class at this time and this has been certainly an adjustment. At the same time, the online teaching, I think many of our teachers in the Wells and throughout the world went through their trial of fire in 2020,
COVID,
teaching
right?
Online, having virtual presence and decreasing that transactional distance between your students so that you can still have genuine interaction and it's not a one-way street. So it's been neat to see how God used those experiences to say, here's a new ministry, but there's familiarity there as well.
You have opportunities ever to get face-to-face time with some of these people that you really only know or were introduced to virtually?
God willing, we will. I believe the plan is that after roughly a year of classes, if an individual has been in teleprogram for a year, completed about 8 of the sessions, at that point, they're assigned a mentor or a counselor from within the Asia One team, where if the opportunity and it's available and safe for everyone, that there would be some face-to-face visits. And that's going to be a response that's spread throughout the Asia One team and with God willing, national leaders as well, who can take on some of those mentorship roles also to build those connections, build those bridges. And at that point, then when we have those face-to-face, it's also time to sit down and really start looking at doctrinal agreement that we have. As I said, a lot of these people are coming in with existing ministry and congregations. And so at some point we do need to say, all right, are we in agreement? Are we going to be able to be in fellowship as we move forward in this? Or is there something that's going to be a sticking point where we just have to peacefully part ways and continue to pray for each other's work? So yes, God willing, there will be face-to-face opportunities to meet eventually. That's down the road yet for us, though.
So finally, I get to ask my question. I'm so excited. No, it totally tag teams off what you guys have been discussing, because I'm sitting here, the older generation in the conversation, grew up in Mississippi and had traveled to Louisiana by the time I was however old, you know, and I'm talking to someone on the other side of the world. And it's just so natural these days. Just like you said, we kind of broke down a lot of those barriers and things. Technology is pretty amazing. And just, I can't imagine what my grandfather would say about what we're doing today with technology. Do you have specific stories? You've already told us about the gentleman in Pakistan you're working with. Do you see technology just like bridging that gap for you daily? Are there challenges that you're working with or things yet to overcome?
I think on an individual level, the thing that continually blows my mind is having a smartphone and fantastically reliable 5G internet. My wife and I, when we were in China 12 years ago, this was pre-smartphone. So, I mean, anywhere you were going, it was you're looking up bus numbers, you're checking your subway stops, you're counting, you know, how many blocks are you walking, and you're making sure you have all this laid out. And now it's, oh, we can just pull it up on our GPS and it's an hour driveway, but we get our turn by turn all the way there. Or, you know, having the Google Translate where you can point at the sign and it's interpreting or translating a sign for you from Thai into English on demand. It's just unbelievable how that has simplified what would otherwise be incredibly stressful situations at times, how we're blessed to have technology in that way. So individually, that's where I see a huge benefit. The other thing I've kind of taken joy in noticing is Thailand is really well set up with their cellular internet. And so I've just been noticing antennas everywhere, and I like to see them and think, oh, that means the gospel can reach this spot. So we're up on a mountaintop at a Buddhist temple, and there's the 5G antenna. I think, great. So someone who's touring this Buddhist temple could still have the gospel reach them here because they've got their net. Or we're, you know, hiking 4 miles out from the city. Again, up in a mountain, you're at, you know, above a mile of elevation, and you're still getting full bars of reception.
Yeah.
Wow.
So here, the gospel could still reach people here.
Every tribe and nation. Yeah.
It's awesome to see how widely available that is. And just knowing that means we can do ministry there.
Yeah.
Roman roads of the 21st century.
All right. Yeah. So what things still need to be worked out? What's the next phase or level for your work and ministry there, especially as it relates maybe to technology? Got some plans?
Yeah, I think there's still some just organizational elements that need to happen. A big thing we're going through with Asia Lutheran Center, well, two big things. One is a transition in our website, moving to a new domain that kind of signifies a broader reach in Asia. And the other is preparing a new student information system that our system is right now is geared towards a small school with a little bit lower enrollment. And again, we want to be prepared for an influx of students. So we're just trying to lay that groundwork and be ready for that to happen. In the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, what comes after TEL. You know, you can think of how many years ago when mail-in classes, you know, you're getting your materials in the mail. Now we're to the video classes and chatting through WhatsApp. In 5 years, is that still around? Or do we need to be ready for VR? Is that going to be the next thing where everyone has to have their goggles and meet it, you know, in virtual reality? But just, I'm always kind of trying to keep an eye open to that and think, how long does this last? And what's our next take? What's the next thing that we'll need to develop? But in the meantime, again, just work while it's daylight and we have this awesome opportunity, these awesome tools available to us. MLP has done a fantastic job developing all that we use for the TEL program. And it's just amazing how solid of a program they've built with the resources to automate so much of it that for our teachers, we can just show up and here's this class of students ready to learn. It's just incredible.
Awesome. Great. Yeah. Thank you for your time, Jeremy. I think our missions promotion folks here do a great job at keeping all of us up to date on some of the cool things that are happening and what to pray for over there. So we'll make sure that that's available to people as they follow along. But you'll certainly be in our prayers, and that's a wonderful opportunity to see the Lord work there in Asia. So thanks for being a part of that.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate you staying up a little bit. I know he was actually had a conference call even after hours. So I would assume that that's kind of the deal when you are 12 hours on the other side of the world, that you might have a few evening activities as you work with us and other people around the globe. But good stuff. And it's exciting to see Jeremy and his work flourishing and being blessed, and so many opportunities the Lord is putting in front of us there.
Yeah, I think it's a really exciting thing to hear about the TEL network yet again. It was just a few shows ago, earlier in March, when we talked to Grace Ungmach and John Gross about what was happening with TEL in the Latin America team. And so here we are hearing about it in Asia. It seems like we're onto something good, and we're making connections, and to God be the glory.
Yeah. So thanks again, Jeremy, for taking your time with us, some time with us, and blessings on your work, your continuing work out there. That's exciting stuff. All right, let's move on. Nothing stops us from doing our picks of the week. I don't care whether it's summer, spring, fall, or anything in between, rain or shine, we have picks of the week. Sally?
You know, I'm thinking you might be a Carole King fan. I'm waiting for you to break into song there, winter, spring, summer, or fall.
That would be the day, yes.
that would be the day.
Another song.
Martin does music.
Yeah, I got these lyrics are just popping out of me today.
I guess.
All right, Sally, what's your pick of the week?
Well, I'm actually sharing my screen for those watching the video. It's time to look at Sally's summer bingo. That's my professional development bingo card. And last show, I mentioned that I was going to be playing bingo this summer along with friends from Ditch That Textbook. Just to kind of a guide to the many, many things that are out there that we can make use of. And I'm realizing I did do some Wakelet Community Week. So I need a green check mark on that one as well. I'm going to have bingo before you know it, Martin.
Well, you're not very strategic as I look at your board yet. You're not lining. You know how to play bingo, right?
I do know how to play bingo, but there's so many opportunities. Maybe I'm going for a blackout. Who knows?
A blackout. That looks like your strategy here.
Actually, what I wanted to feature this week and share with our listeners was that I sat in on some of the open learning at MLC sessions that were held actually yesterday and today. I was in yesterday's session 2 with Dr. Ben Clemens, who presented on integrating school families. And really, really interesting conversation and some kind of surprising things that Ben shared. And I don't want to give it too much away, because I think you can still go and watch recordings of these sessions and even get your clock hour credit if you're a teacher and need some professional development credit. But I will say that Ben's conversation around integrating school families started with talking about your own team, your ministry team there in your school and your church, teachers, pastors, staff ministers, all of you working together to come up with a consolidated goal to do this integration, to work towards bringing families into the church so they can hear God's word and, you know, enjoy that gospel message. And I was really expecting him to start right off the bat with, you need to do ABC, here are the programs you need to have, and, you know, here's the way to engage parents and blah, blah, blah. But instead, this focus on the ministry team, like I said, it kind of surprised me. And I think it has a lot of applications, kind of no matter what you want to do in your church or school, whether it's integrating school families or, you know, building a new building or anything in between, teamwork is kind of important. And if you don't have that team attitude, you're probably going to stumble some. And I really appreciated that Ben brought that out right away, that obviously all of us want to share the good news, and that getting everyone on the same page and in agreement with how you're going to do that, what the plan is, that kind of thing is probably goal number one. So really good session, though. And he did get into some of those things to do. He also made mention at the end that the Commission on Lutheran Schools office has a lot of great resources out there under the Telling the Next Generation title. This is out on the wellscongregationalservices.net website. So I'll include a link to Telling the Next Generation in the show notes as well.
Did you do one today as well? Did you say that?
I did not sit in on a session today. It continued through today. I want to say the theme for today was around meeting the needs of students. So inclusive classrooms and support and things like that around meeting the needs
good
of
stuff,
students.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. For sure.
All right. Good pick of the week. My pick of the week, assuming it's my turn.
Yes.
There's only two of us in the room.
That's the way it works.
Is a new-ish browser. Browsers seem a little bit pedestrian these days. You've got your Chromes and your Safaris and your Edges, etc. But this one has a little bit different take. It's called the Arc browser, A-R-C. You can find it at arc.net. I've been using it for about a month, and I was listening to a couple podcasts who were raving about some of the things that it does that are, you know, just kind of a little bit better, next level than your traditional, you know, tabs across the top browsers that we've come to see from things like Chrome and such. A couple of the things that it does really well that I really like, one of them is something that they call spaces. And with a gesture, just swiping left or right, you can move between different spaces that you've set up. And spaces for me are, you know, I've got a workspace, I have a home space, I have a church space, and all the links are different or can be different. All the plugins can be different. So you can just really kind of quarantine your life off. So for me, I use two different password managers. That's always been a problem because they're always competing. So if I use something like Chrome, if I just use one Chrome browser, I'm consistently having to wrangle which password manager wants to pop up and fill in my password. Arc with spaces allows you to say, hey, I only want these plugins for this space. So for my personal, I use 1Password. For my work at the Synod, we use Bitwarden. So I use that, and never the two, they're not fighting anymore. You can colorize them, so it's easy to know what environment you're in. The bookmarks and the extensions, as I mentioned, are all unique to that space. So spaces is kind of one of the killer features. A couple of the others that I really like, just with some quick gestures, you can bring the tab bar show and hide, and it's all kind of a left-hand tab bar model, so it's not across the top. And I didn't know that I would like that initially. It takes a little bit getting used to, but once you're used to it, it is really kind of a nice way or a nice place to put those tabs, and you can, you know, save your bookmarks, or if you don't save them, they'll disappear after a time period that you prescribe. So if they're just kind of ephemeral, hey, you were just looking at this page, they'll hang around for 12 hours, 24 hours, and then they'll just kind of disappear by themselves. So one of the reasons they do that is for memory management. And ARC also does a nice job trying to keep the memory under control so it doesn't, you know, slow your computer down. So it's very quick and speedy. There's a Windows version. There's a Mac version. Very native experience on both platforms. They've done the Mac or the Windows version just came out. The Mac version's been out for a while. And then one of the last features, and they have, you know, all the security privacy stuff, so they make that a priority. But one of the other nice things is side-by-side windows. So mm-hmm. Edge does this. Chrome, I don't think does. Maybe there is a plugin or something, but very often you just want to have two windows up. And with some of our bigger monitors, it's nice to have two web browser windows up within the same browser. So they allow you to split the screen or split the browser window, and it will remember that. You can save that. So if there are two websites that you always have up together, sometimes that's helpful. So they're kind of a pair. You've got one, you know, website and your notes panel or your Google Doc or whatever. It allows you to do that. So nice, clean interface. It's totally free. They've got a lot of additional features. They have like an easel/whiteboard thing. It's kind of like Miro or the whiteboards that are out there now today, where you can kind of collect stuff. Edge would have collections. Just a nice, great. I have really not seen any downsides to using this. Well, I take that back. There is not a perfect companion on mobile.
That's what I was going to ask.
So on the iPad or iPhone, they have a version, but it's a little bit different. I think they've been playing around with what that should be. But it's not an apples for apples. Yeah, I think all your bookmarks and things do come through, so that's kind of nice. That's one of the reasons you like to be consistent. But I think they have some limitations on some of these devices. So that's, if there is a downside, maybe that's one of them. But other than that, I really like what the experience has been. And this makes a lot of sense where, you know, browsers have not changed a lot over the years. And this is kind of a different take where it recognizes that you do a lot of your work in the browser. You really never leave mm-hmm. the browser. So your mail is in browsers, your documents are in a browser. So why not make that experience, you know, as nice as possible? You can set your own search engine. So I've set mine to be an AI-based solution. I think I mentioned this last time. Perplexity is my default search engine. So it does all the things that I want. And I really haven't had a reason to say, hey, I really miss such and such. And because it's based on Chromium, all the extensions work. So anything that any extension you can use in Chrome, you can use in ARC, which is kind of the kiss of death for any competing browser. It doesn't support extensions because everybody, I think, these days needs to have access to the rich library of extensions that work with Chrome or Firefox or whatever. So ARC, the ARC browser, ARC.net. My pick.
Sounds like some really nice features. The one that piqued my interest was memory management. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have any problems on my work computer, but my home computer is getting slower and slower. As I bring up a web page, I can hear the fans clicking on and things like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So if it's got better control of memory management, I think that would be a real win, because the cool stuff that's out there takes some horsepower. And
it does. Yeah, so, yeah. Give it a try. Good. Now, I have not played much with the Windows version since it's newer. I work mostly predominantly on a Mac, but it's really worked pretty well on the Mac.
Awesome.
So that's my pick of the week.
Might have to. All
right.
That one.
Let's get back to the agenda here. Community feedback is next.
Yeah, heard from a couple of people. First up, wanted to share an email from Michael Vlieger, who is at Risen Savior here in Mankato, Minnesota, and a member of my congregation. So hi, Michael. Thanks for reaching out. He says he hasn't had much time to discover or send things our way over this past school year because he was the interim principal for our school. So that took up all his extra time. Mm-hmm. But he's getting back into the swing of technology as we have a new principal coming on board. And he said he came across a post mentioning Idaho State University offering self-paced courses for credit. Upon looking into it further, I discovered they also offer a $200 credit for new registrations. This credit more than covers the cost of the first course you take. So there's a pretty good number of general education offerings, as well as some STEM and tech related courses. He's signed up for prompt engineering for supercharged teaching, and thought it was a great time for other people to do professional development. And we got this right after we had our last recording when we talked about professional development for summer. So I was excited to have another tie-in. And actually, I added it to my bingo card.
That was my next question. Was it on the bingo card?
Yeah. It's totally on the bingo card. So let me share my screen quick. Here's the webpage that we'll link to in the show notes. It's isu.edu/onlinepd for professional development. And they have these self-paced online courses. And right here on the screen, over in the upper right area, you can see something that says receive a $200 credit to say thank you. And their course offerings are $55 an hour. So a three-hour course is $165. And they give you $200 to use towards it. And literally, all you have to do is create an account, and they put that money in your account, and you can go out and sign up for a course and begin it within 5 minutes of creating your account. So what kind of courses do they have? Everything from assessment to technology and all kinds of things in between. Creative courses, the elements of art, the principles of design. They've got English lit courses. English literature, English for English language learners, introduction to phonics, secondary comprehensive literacy course, all kinds of things. They've got exceptionalities and disability related courses. For instance, what every teacher should know about ADHD, leadership courses, math courses, mental health. They've got all kinds of topics covered here. Innovative teaching strategies, grant writing for teachers, Phi Ed courses, psychology courses. We get all the way down here. There's some STEM courses, elementary engineering design. And then under technology, that's where Michael found the AI prompt engineering for supercharged teaching. And, you know, to be honest, I read through all these titles, and with my free $200, I signed up for that exact same one, because we know prompting with AI is where it's
very
at.
So, timely. Yeah, what we talked about all school year.
Exactly. And so, but they've got a whole slew of them, and several of them have to do with AI and integrating technology and all kinds of topics. So why not get 3 hours of professional development credit under your belt? It's kind of on a pass-fail basis. It's totally self-directed. You get a Moodle account, basically. That's their learning management system. And you take a self-paced course with Moodle. There's videos and reading, quizzes at the end of each module. The one that I signed up for, Michael told me at church on Sunday, he finished it already. It has 8 modules total. And he also sent me an example of some spelling curriculum work that he was doing and the AI prompt that he used. And it's quite impressive what you can get out of it when you can write a really thorough, complete AI prompt. So he's getting his bang for the buck out of the class that he took already. So highly recommend checking it out. It's from Idaho State University.
This seems legit. And you haven't completed the course yet, but I'm assuming you do have to do some work to get your credit. I mean, to get your credits.
That's correct. There's definitely work to do and quizzes to pass and that kind of thing. And then you basically just wait 2 weeks. They tell you they're not going to give you any credit until 2 weeks has passed. So that gives them time to go in and review your work
Make
and
sure
things like that. And then you can pick up your transcript right after that 2 weeks has passed after you complete your course.
Excellent.
So, pretty
Why
cool
not
stuff.
Try it? It's for, you know, dip your toe in the water for free.
Right. And I'm sure they're hoping that you're going to love their environment and their course offerings and want to take more. And it's quite possible you will, because what I've seen so far is
$55 a credit hour is pretty reasonable.
Exactly. Very well done.
Okay. So, good deal. Thanks, Michael.
One more. Yeah, for sure. One more thing to mention, and that is from our friends at Blueprint Schools. They have a blog that they run there, and Ryan Kirchhoff's been writing a series about assessment, and he kind of got to the grand finale of the series. It's a 7 part series. And at the seventh part, he's talking about the new grading standard, and that would be using standard-based report cards. And he gives examples of it. He defends it and why it is a great way to go. And he also gives you tips about what he's learned using it. He did decide to do it in a, he calls it a pseudo transition. And he has some takeaways from that, that collaboration is key, finding a small group of teachers who are interested in giving it a try, and clarity and transparency improved. He learned what the most important skills his students should know and be able to do. And his students were motivated. They were eager to check the boxes and understand the standards that were expected of them. So I think it's a great read. Obviously, getting the background with his other six blog posts and the whole entire series would be a great place to spend some time as well. But if you're looking at standards-based, maybe Ryan's experience will be helpful to you. So
excellent.
That's what we have for community feedback.
And if you want to be a part of our community feedback fun, it's easy to do. Just go to wellstech.wells.net. Leave a comment on any of our shows. Across the top, you'll find all the socials that we're involved with, so you can connect with us there. You can leave a voicemail right on that page, or send us a good old-fashioned email, wellstech@wells.net. And it can be about anything. Yeah, comment on the show, suggestions for future interviews, et cetera, et cetera. So join
we'll
the conversation.
Take it all.
We will. And if you want to remain anonymous, just let us know and we'll share your stuff, but we won't share who you are. That's fine too. Sally, we're going to do this again for show 728. What do we have coming up?
More summer tech talking, and this time it'll be on the home missions front. Looking forward to talking to Pastor Joel Prangy, who serves a brand new mission startup, only 2 years old, in Dickinson, North Dakota. The church name is Amazing Grace, and we're going to hear about how that startup's going and what kind of technology's been involved in their process of getting going. So
excellent.
Looking forward to that.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sally. And thank all of you for tuning in once again to Wells Tech. Come back next time, and we'll talk some more technology and ministry. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.